Fellowship Church, where is never a dull moment. This morning we're going to be continuing our study of faith. We've been talking about faith for several weeks now. I hope your faith has increased as we talk about faith. Otherwise, I need to start a different occupation, huh? Well, you know, faith is one of those things that we never graduate from. You don't get your diploma that you've arrived, that you have this super faith, you know. In fact, we know that we can have great faith one day and be very discouraged and doubting and the next day, because it's the nature of man. We're just, that's who we are. So today we're going to be talking about faith and the spoken word. Now, if you've been around here for a while, you've heard me talk about the Word of Faith movement. And so there is a balance to everything. And this today is going to be kind of one of those Word of Faith messages, which is a lot of the radio broadcasts have. So if you've heard me say something, it doesn't mean that I don't believe in the Word of Faith. I just believe that there is a balance to it. And so today we're going to take that swing on that side, and we're going to talk about faith in the spoken word. Now, last week we had the text that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. We're going to back up to a few verses just before that in Romans chapter 4, beginning verse 16. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each person here and those watching by Facebook. And we pray, Lord, that there would be a special anointing of faith upon me and upon the hearers today, that our faith would rise to a certain level, that you would give us this glorious revelation of the power of faith in the life of the believer, that mountain-moving faith that you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 4:16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that of the law, but also those of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, you know, and when we say Abraham, the Bible teaches we've been grafted into the tree of the Jews through faith. And so he is the father of all of us, right? The father of faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls the things which be not as though they were. Now, that's a real challenge, isn't it? You know, when someone looks at you and says, that tire is flat, and you say, no, it's not. That tire is not flat, you know. And they say, okay, well, you're crazy. Well, that's, you know, people of faith are crazy because we call the things that are not as though they are. Now, you got to be realistic. Sometimes you have to fix a flat, and I'm not suggesting that you, and that's where the balance comes in. But there are things in our life where God will present circumstances that look really bad, and God wants us to have faith like Abraham and like God, who is able to quicken the dead. That means make alive, right? This guy's dead over here. No, he's not. What did Jesus do with Lazarus? You know, Lazarus is sleeping. Well, let him sleep. And I'm telling you, well, I'll just tell you, you don't get it. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there so that you can believe when I go raise him from the dead, right? And so God, who can raise the dead, he calls the things that are not as though they are. In other words, he's not dead, he's alive. Jesus raised the people's little girl. She's just sleeping, right? And they laughed him to scorn. And people will laugh you to scorn if you are a word of faith person, if you call the things that are not as though they were. And then verse 18 says, who against hope believed hope. How many guys have ever been in a hopeless situation? Come on. Yeah, we all have, haven't we? We look at the situation and go, there's no way that God can change this. It's just the way it is. I have to accept it. But it says, who against hope believed in hope. We're still talking about Abraham. Remember, he had no hope that he would have a child at 100 years old. Right? I mean, that's just a ridiculous thought. But against hope, he hoped that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. So he's standing on this promise that God made. He's going to have a child in his old age. So against hope, he hoped. So when God created the universe, we read that God said what? Let there be light, right? That's how he created it. So there was no light. He spoke a word of faith. Let there be light. And there was light. The literal translation in Hebrew is light be, right? And so if you're having financial problems, you might say, money be, right? If you're depressed, you might say, happiness be. If You know, whatever the case may be, if you're going through a sickness, you might say, healing be. This is the word of faith. This is what children of faith, men and women of faith, do. They call the things that are not as though they are. There was no light till God said, light be. He spoke by faith. He's God. He is the God of faith. We are the children of faith. He spoke it into existence. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, Jesus saw a fig tree as he was going by, and he came to it. He was hungry, wanted to eat, but there was nothing on it but just leaves only. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Wouldn't you like to have been there with the disciples and watched that tree just draw up? Wouldn't that have been amazing? And so here Jesus is wanting fruit. There is no fruit, so he curses the fig tree. And by his word of faith, he says, let no fruit ever grow on you forever. And the fig tree immediately died. Now, we're told that we are to be like Jesus. We're told, these works Jesus said I do, you shall do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father. Now, how can we do greater works than Jesus? Because there's more of us. He wants us all to be like Jesus. He wants us to be men and women of faith who curses things that deserve to be cursed. I remember, I think last week or the week before I told you about, it might have been Wednesday night, my experience at Hillcrest and Children's Medical Center, right? Remember that story? Well, after I lost my job at Children's Medical Center, I cursed that place. Now, I wasn't cursing the people. There were some good people in there, but it was a bad experience for me. I said, I curse you in Jesus' name. You know what? It's not there today. There's a Best Buy there. Amen? Now, you know, I'm not saying that did it. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But the point is, we have life and death in the power of the tongue. Now, we don't do that to hurt people. We're not witches that have, you know, what they call them, voodoo dolls. We don't do that. We bless people. Amen? Our intention is to bless people, to give them hope and a future. Our intention is to speak life over people, not death. And so this incident with Jesus, he cursed the fig tree because it didn't produce fruit and it withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? I mean, you don't just see trees just shrivel up and die right before your eyes. But with God, everything is possible, isn't it? Amen? And just the reverse is happening. You may be living a shriveled up life right now. You may be experiencing a fruitless life. You may be experiencing a life of fear, depression, discouragement. You may have aches and pains. God can bring a miracle just the opposite way for you. But death and life is in the power of the tongue, and you have to speak it. Amen? That's what faith is all about. And so Jesus answered to them, and he said to them, if you have a nice church to go to. No, he didn't say that, did he? If you have a little bit of money in the bank. No, he said, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it what shall be done. Now, he didn't say, if you pray a quiet prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. He said, if you say to the mountain. And that's where the word of faith comes in. You have to speak to the mountains in your life. And whatever mountain is there, well, how big it is, how monumental it is, how towering it is, how intimidating it is, you have to talk to it. You have to call the things that are not as are. You have to say, mountain, be removed. And he said, and not doubt. You know, doubt is really that little teeny voice that says, do you really believe this? It was the voice to Eve in the garden when God said, of all the fruit in the garden you can eat except this fruit, don't eat out of it. And Satan comes up and says, did God really say that? And so doubt will be that little voice that says, yeah, I know the pastor preached that, but do you really believe that? Do you really think you can speak to this thing and see the whole situation change? And so that's when you say, yes, lying devil, I believe it. I believe that I have the power through faith by God to speak to this mountain and God is going to change my circumstance. I believe that, don't you? I believe that I can do that. But I can't doubt. I can't doubt. Doubt is the water on the fire that extinguishes faith. And you say, well, how can I do that? Everybody doubts. Doubt is an enemy of faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You don't get rid of doubt, you fill your tank with faith. You know, if you have a barrel and in the bottom of the barrel is a little bit of doubt, just keep pouring faith in until it runs over and doubt runs away. Amen. Just fill your heart and life and mind and soul with faith that God can do anything. When Jesus was talking about how hard it was for a rich man to get in heaven, it's like a camel going through an eye of a needle. And the disciples said, well, who can be saved? And God, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And your situation is not impossible that you're going through today. Your situation is not anything that God can't fix if you can exercise your faith. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you will might get it. No, he said you shall get it, didn't he? Those are not my words. Those are the words of Jesus. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive it. One of my great faith preachers, you've heard me tell R.W. Shambach stories before, is he was preaching a camp meeting. This was when he was still under A.A. Allen, big tent camp meeting. He was his assistant. He was supposed to preach that afternoon service. It was a Sunday morning. They were going to have a Sunday afternoon one. Brother Allen preached this message on salvation. R.W. Shambach got off the platform and got in the line with all the people that are getting saved. He said, Shambach, get out of there. That's for sinners. He said, mind your own business. I know what I'm doing. He said, I'm standing in. I'm not R.W. I'm Leroy. I'm standing in for my brother. He said, his brother, when his mom died, she'd say, Lord, you promised all my kids would be saved. And he's like, Leroy, when are you going to get saved? Not now, not now. And so he'd been holding on. And so he said, I'm standing in for my brother Leroy. And so he had the prayer service. His sister called him that afternoon. She said, I got something to tell you. He goes, wait, I got something to tell you. Leroy got saved today. She got real quiet. She said, that's why I was calling you. How did you know? Now notice, he said what he didn't know. He said what he believed. He rejoiced that he stood in for his brother, and then he said, Leroy got saved. See, this is what Jesus is talking about. When you ask in prayer, believe that you'll receive it. People say, well, I believe it. Well, did you call someone and tell them it happened? Or did you, before they could tell you, did you tell them it happened, even though you didn't know it? You see, that's faith in action. That's that believing and receiving. Amen. Now this is R.G. Lathorno. He is the man who invented the great earth moving machines. And he was a devout Christian. And so all of these machines that were invented that make roads, these mammoth earth moving machines, he invented them. Now he originally was just in the business of making roads. And he had about 190-something patents because he'd come across something and there wasn't a machine that would do it, so he would invent it. And he was, at one time, $100,000 in debt. It was right about 1920 during the Depression. And an attorney friend of his says, well, why don't you quit trying to make roads? You're so good at making these earth-moving machines. Just make them and sell them. And so he had trouble getting business partners, so he said, well, God, I guess you're just going to have to be my business partner. And he began to tithe 90% of his income and live on 10%, and God began to bless him. And so through all of this, God used him in tremendous ways. He opened schools, training people, all sorts of things. But there's a story in his life that he came across. He was in South America. And, you know, when you build these roads, you have to bid for the job. And you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what the soil is. And he made a mistake. Turns out that this one mountain was solid rock. And there was no way he was going to do it. He was going to lose a lot of money. He wasn't going to be able to do the job. And so that night, a little discouraged, he went to bed. And they had tents set up. They're on the site. And he said, Lord, you said that if I ask anything in your name, you'll do it. And I've never really asked you for anything big like this. But we got to build that road. And I need you to split this mountain. And he went to sleep. And about 3 a.m., there was an earthquake. And God cut a hole right through that mountain for him. God can do anything if we believe. Amen? He can do it. In Zechariah chapter 4, we read that the angel that was talking to him came to him, and he woke him up as a man that's waking out of sleep, and he says to me, what do you see? And he said, I look, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and it has seven lamps thereon and seven pipes of seven lamps which are upon the top of it. and two olive trees, one by one side and the other on the other side of the bowl, and upon the left and on the right. And I answered, and I spoke to, he answered, and he spoke to the angel and said, what are these, my Lord? And the angel talks to him, and he answers, and he says, you know not what these are? And he said, no. And he said to him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So this image is that in heaven, there's these olive trees, and the olive oil is coming through pipes and running down. This is the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit Wednesday. And so the Holy Spirit is running down from heaven to you and me. And when we look at immovable things, those mountains in our life, we say, Lord, I don't have the faith. This mountain is too big. And it says to us, well, you know, it is big, but it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, when they went back to Jerusalem after Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Israel and the 70 years of Babylonian captivity were up, the mountain was not a physical mountain. I mean, it was, but it wasn't a earth mountain. It was a mountain of rubble. The temple that Solomon had built had been totally leveled by Nebuchadnezzar, and there's all these burnt-out rocks on top of each other, and they had the task of cleaning that up. Man, I got tired just raking leaves yesterday. I can't imagine that kind of a mountain. And you know, so they're looking at this enormous mountain, and they're discouraged. They're like, how are we ever going to clear all this rubble to start rebuilding Jerusalem? And so he says, it's not by might or by power, it's by my spirit. And then he says, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone of that temple with shouting, grace, grace to it. And you might say, and we talked about this, putting the pastor on the pedestal. But you know what? Everything we get by God is by grace. Amen? It's by grace. So the Holy Spirit's coming down. The grace of God is being bestowed, and the mountain will be removed by the grace of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now in Joel chapter 3, he says, proclaim this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Now this is the last day kind of in our time. Do you know at the United Nations, they have the scripture that says your plowshares and sword, the other one is your swords into plowshares. So they got ahead of it, because before you can beat your weapons into plowshares, that's the millennial reign, Joel says you got to beat your plowshares into swords. So beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong, assemble yourselves, come, all ye heathens, gather yourself together round about the cause of your mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Now this is all about, let me see if there's more verse. Yeah, let me finish reading these. And the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge the heathens round about. And put your sickle in, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the vats overflowing, for the wickedness is great. So this is all about leading up to the battle of Armageddon before Jesus comes back. But this verse here, back here in verse 10, he says, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Now, if you were getting ready to go to war where your life is at stake, you want to be the strongest one. If this guy's coming at you with a 10-inch sword, you want a 12-inch sword. This guy's coming at you with a gun, you want an automatic weapon. And so you want to be stronger than your enemies. And so the way we are stronger than our enemies, the enemies of doubt and fear and unbelief, which is really the enemies, is the weak has to say, I'm strong. Now, if you've ever struggled with something in your life that seems overwhelming, the only way to not lose is to say that you've won. And this goes in complete defiance of all logic. We've been taught since we were children, you know, that if you burn your hand, you go to mom and say, I burned my hand, right? But when we are dealing with life's problems, maybe it's temptation, and the devil says to you, you don't have the strength to do this. You failed before. You're weak. Now, you're tempted to say, well, yeah, devil, you're right. I've blown it so many times. I've told God I wouldn't do that again. I did it. But biblically speaking, we are to say, no, I'm strong. And the devil begins to laugh at you. What are you talking about? Remember last week? You did it again. You're weak. You say, no, devil, I'm strong. You're weak. I'm strong. You're weak. I'm strong. And you fight the fight of faith by calling the things that are not as though they are. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen? And so, that is the formula for this. And we'll skip those verses. So, let the weak say, I am strong. Put on faith, the shield of faith, and begin to speak against the enemies of your soul. Doubt and fear and unbelief. Call the things that are not as though they are. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Years ago, when we were down by Arcola Sand and Gravel, I had a member of the church who was having some heart issues. And he had lived a pretty rough life. And he was a big, hefty, strong man. But he kept coming to me saying, I really think I'm going to die. I'm having these pains. I think at any minute, my dad dropped dead, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I think at any minute, I'm going to die. And I quoted Psalm 118, you shall not die but live. And I said, you need to speak, I shall live and not die. Calling the things that are not as though they are. I shall live and not die. Every time you have that feeling, every time you have that thought, every time you even remotely think that something's not right with your heart, say, I shall live and not die. He's still living. Amen? He's still living. And you say, well, you know, maybe it was gas. You know, the devil will always try to explain the miracles of God away because he doesn't want you to have faith. You know, sometimes indigestion can cause that to feel, you know, okay, well, whatever. But, you know, we have to speak the word of God. We have to speak the word of faith over our lives. You will either dig your own grave or have everything God wants you to have all by your tongue. You will have what you say. Jesus said, if you look to the mountain, say to the mountain, by what you say, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. Now, just to keep this balanced, James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. And so we have to make sure that what we're saying is within God's will for our lives. Obviously, God wants you to be prosperous and be in health. God wants you to be able to supply your needs, you know, your food, shelter, and clothing. But anything sometimes above that may not be God's will, which brings us to Janis Joplin this morning. I've never quoted Janis Joplin in a sermon before, but we all remember that song. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Remember that? Oh, Lord, won't you give me a color TV? You know, that's probably not God's will for you to pray, you know, or a night on the town and someone buying the round, I think is the way the song goes. So let's not be Janis Joplin. Let's not use the word of faith to heap upon ourselves things that may not be God's will. But obviously, we want God's will in our life. And again, keeping it balanced. And you've heard me quote this before, the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they're about to be thrown into the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar gives them another chance to bow before his golden image. And so they say to Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it so be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, hear the faith, from the burning fiery furnace, but he will deliver us out of your hands. He's able, but I'm going to let God be sovereign. We have to let God be sovereign in the word of faith, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, when Hezekiah, Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, put your house in order, you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to cry and pray out to God. And before Isaiah got out of the front courtyard, God sent him back in and said, I'm going to give you X amount more years. But what we find then in those extra years that he showed the enemy of Israel all the storehouse and the gold in the temple that eventually brought him in. So it may not be God's will for you to live those extra 5 years or whatever. God may have something better for you, and don't we all know that heaven's better? And so my point is, you know, don't just get hung up on, well, I say this, God's my puppet, and he has to do what I say. We have to let God be sovereign. We want God's perfect will, not his permissive will. Amen. And so here's my dog, Spock. You know, every chance I get to brag on my dog. He's my buddy. And he thought I bought patio furniture just for him. As he's, you see his eyes, he's kind of dozing in the heat of the sun there. But, you know, when I call Spock, he comes running. He knows my voice. He knows his name. And when I say, Spock, you know, here he comes. His little whole body shakes, his tail wagging. But you know what? Cats don't come when I call Spock. And if cats came when I call Spock, I would not like that because I'm not a big cat fan. And if you are, okay. But I love my little dog Spock. So when I want Spock, I call Spock with my tongue, with my voice. I say his name and he comes. And the Word of Faith teaches us that when we have a need in our life, we don't call the cat, we don't call the sickness, we don't call the depression, we don't say I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. We call what we want to come. Now, if you want depression to come, go ahead and keep calling depression. If you want the cat to come, then go ahead and keep calling the cat. But if you want your little buddy Spock to come, if you want healing to come, if you want victory to come, if you want joy to come, then call what you want to come, not what you want or don't want to come. Amen? All right. Now, this is Horatio Spafford. Many of you got to know him. Talk about having a bad day. His son died of scarlet fever right about the time the Chicago fire consumed all of his wealth. So he sent his wife and four daughters to Europe. And on the way, the ship sunk and his wife alone was saved. His four daughters drowned. He got a telegraph from his wife saying, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" How sad. So he went to be reunited in England with his wife, and the captain of the ship told him, "We're in that area where the ship went down, where your daughters drowned." And as he's leaning over the rail, sobbing in despair, God spoke a word into his spirit, "It is well with my soul." We all know that great hymn that he wrote from this experience. But when God speaks a word into your soul, it's not just a word into your head. It imparts what God wants to impart in your life. It imparts peace when there is no peace. And so God spoke and imparted into his life wellness in your mind and your will and emotions so that he could go on in this heart-wrenching chapter in his life. And it so moved Horatio Spafford that he when he got back to England, he grabbed a pen and he wrote those immortal words, it is well with my soul. And I can't help but think every time that song is sung, every time Horatio Spafford sang it, every time others sang it, that you felt that same impartation from God as the word of faith came from your mouth. No matter what you're going through, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Now, the Lord, I have to tell you, you know, God is so good because the thing about calling your dog Spock, I heard a guy say it on the radio, so I'm giving him credit. And then Friday night, we went to this praise and worship, and they begin to sing about this chapter in Ezekiel. So all week people have been helping me preach this sermon, putting all of this together. In Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and he carried him to the Spirit by the Spirit and set him down in the midst of a valley that was full of bones. And he caused him to pass round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Have you ever been dry before? Sure we have. And so he asks him what, you know, if these bones could live, and he answers him politically correct. what am I going to say? And so he says to him, "Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about putting on the mantle of a prophet over your life and begin to prophesy over the dryness in your life. Begin to speak over the dryness in your life. And the devil's going to say to you, "Do you honestly think that your life is going to recover from this? The dryness, the barrenness that you're going through right now?" And so you begin to put on faith and you begin to prophesy over your life, the dryness in your life. And you say, "Listen, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live." Amen. And so then he says, the Lord says to him, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Do you hear that noise? You know what that noise is? That's the noise of you grasping the word of faith this morning. It's that rattling noise that says, yes, your situation is about to change. Them dry bones are about to come together. And so he says, I prophesied and I commanded as I was in the noise, and behold, there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone upon bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind. Come on, church, let's apply it. North wind, south wind, east wind, west wind, blow upon my barrenness, blow upon my soul, blow upon my situation. And he said, prophesy to the wind, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord, come, you four winds, and breathe, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Out of this valley of dry bones came an exceeding great army. And it wasn't because they brought them in on a rail line. It was because somebody spoke the word of faith over the barrenness and the dryness of the situation, and God changed the circumstance. Amen. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our part. And maybe you're here this morning, you're watching by faith Facebook, and maybe you feel like your hope is lost. I've known some people in the last month, they felt like their hope was lost, but God is the master of changing things around, is he not? I said he can change your circumstance. It doesn't matter how dry and barren it may seem, but you have got to put on the word of faith out of your mouth. You've got to prophesy over your situation. You've got to speak life over the death. You've got to speak faith over the doubt, fear, and unbelief. And then it became this great mighty army. But they said, you know, all hope is lost. We're cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And of course, we've seen that fulfilled in our lifetime, haven't we? May 14th, 1948, God fulfilled this prophecy. 1967, Israel re-entered the land. And really, it's not totally going to be completely filled until the four winds blow the Holy Spirit into the life of the Jews, and they become that 144,000 preaching the everlasting gospel. And so, you know, God's word is going to happen whether you speak it or not. What God said is going to happen is going to happen. But if you want to be a part of what God is doing, then you have to speak the word of faith. Amen. And he said, and you will know that I am the Lord when I have, now here he says, opened your graves. But I want you to just take that verse and fill in what you want there where it says open your graves. You will know that I am the Lord when I have done this miracle in your life. And many people are here this morning that need a miracle from God. And God is a miracle working God. And so you need to raise your faith to the level where you say, I know that God is going to resurrect this thing. I know that God is going to move this mountain. I know that God is going to do this thing in my life, and I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to speak faith. In Romans 7:21 it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so when we say that, we're looking at our circumstances. You know, I'm trying to do good, but evil's I do the wrong thing. That's your circumstance. But again, Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. I carry in my wallet, I showed it to Frida the other day, it's starting to get a little torn. It's a piece of paper. When my grandmother Geneva Cobb died, it was in a Bible I had given her, and she had written this on the paper. I'm getting it out here. It's falling apart. I need to laminate it. So, but she had these two verses together. I find in the law, when I do good, evil is present with me. And then this verse that says, let the weak say I'm strong. And then she wrote this on this paper. Let us not magnify our weakness, but let us obey God's command and state in our testimony, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, my voice can magnify my weakness, my situation, or I can speak to it, the word of faith, and say I'm strong. Say I'm healed. Say I'm delivered. Whatever you need. God wants us to be men and women of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, if you are in that valley of dry bones this morning, if you are facing a situation that seems impossible, can these bones live? That's a pretty impossible situation by natural standards. I mean, here's a bunch of bones of people that have died so long ago, there's no flesh on them, they're just dried up bones. It's an impossible situation. We can say it in the natural, or we can speak over it and watch God move. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that you said these words. They are true, that we can speak to our mountains, we can speak to our dry bones, we can speak to our situation. And so I pray right now, God, that you increase our faith, that you help us to set aside all doubt and fear and unbelief and begin to obey the word of the Lord. We know that we can't do it in ourselves. It's not by might or power, but it's by your Spirit. And the mountain will be moved still by the grace of God, not by anything I am. But you have given us a formula called faith. And you've told us that we have to speak to our mountain. So help us, Lord, not to just think it, not to wish it, not to hope it, not to ask somebody else to pray about it, but begin to speak the word of faith over our situation and watch you move. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. May you have a blessed day.